Right. So, welcome to Tech Tuesday. Today we're going to talk about tools for chatting.
That's great because I'm a bit of a technophobe. I love it at one level, but I'm struggling to keep up with it. And I'm really looking forward to hearing about some of these new applications that are available. I know the first one we're going to talk about is Skype. And I think I know Skype because I use it myself.
So how do you use Skype?
I use it to contact people, friends of mine who are abroad, for example. I love the video bit. I use it in business in terms of sharing screens so I can show people files and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And actually, when I work, I'm on a board and sometimes I can't be there. So remotely, I will Skype in. The observations I'd make are a lot of the time it's reliable, but just when you need it to be reliable, sometimes it isn't. And the sound quality can sometimes be a bit dodgy.
But it is free.
It is free, yeah.
And that's why the whole world uses it.
Yeah, it is free. I wouldn't mind paying for something actually that was a bit more robust.
And we'll get to that. So
okay.
So let's start with Skype and what it is. So effectively, it's a free instant messaging app, which moved into voice over internet, which is VoIP, voice over internet protocol, calling over the internet, and then added in video. And when Skype added in video, that kind of changed everything, didn't it? And somebody else came along and offered screen sharing, and Skype thought, we could do that. And so they added screen sharing in, and that's been a big part of it also. What I love about Skype is everybody's on it. So when we bring in a podcast guest, what app do we use? Skype.
Yeah.
Because we know they'll have it.
Is it available all over the world?
Yes. There's always some countries that lock certain things, but effectively it's available everywhere in the world.
Okay, very good. So who should be using it?
So I would say anybody that needs to keep in touch with people remotely. That generally means abroad, but it can also be a team. So for example, at work, we use it because we Skype each other across the office. Now, I work for a tech company. We're lazy. We should get up and talk to each other. But it doesn't matter to me if they're at home or at work. I can contact them the same way. I don't pick up the phone. I just open Skype and type a quick message. So you'll notice that the way that we use Skype and the way I've used it in a lot of tech companies isn't actually always screen sharing. It's not always calling per se. There's a lot of instant messenger, a lot like text messaging, but on your laptop.
And so on a practical basis, as a day-to-day business tool, you rate it?
Yeah, I do. I do. And I've used both Skype and Skype for Business. And Skype for Business has certain things about it that are a bit better. It's a bit more secure and you can add more people to the conference call.
Is Skype for Business premium?
That's right.
The premium service?
That's right. It's a premium service. Although there is also a premium service with the Skype Personal. So it can be a little bit confusing. So you go to Skype.com and check it out to see which one's right for you. But for most people, it's going to be Skype standard. People who shouldn't be using it are people who only need face-to-face contact, use email and use the telephone, and potentially are out on their mobile a lot and don't have a computer, because Skype on a mobile isn't fantastic. It's okay, but it's not great.
And what sort of alternatives are there now? Are there some viable alternatives to Skype now?
Yeah, well, you mentioned the video calling and the conference calling. I think conference calling and screen sharing is really important to a lot of businesses. I happen to work for one which needs to demo the tool over the internet to people in different countries and in remote locations. And Skype really isn't quite good enough because of the reasons that you've just given. It's free. We could pay to have a better quality of service and use Skype for Business. Even that isn't perfect. We've used a number of different tools, and I've personally used a number of different tools. One is GoToMeeting, which is made by Citrix, and it's quite a good screen sharing, conference calling, dial in, enter your meeting number, everybody talks, record the call, screen share. Another one is WebEx, and WebEx is probably the father of screen sharing and did it before Skype did. And WebEx is by Cisco. It's a good product. I use that at the moment.
Are these expensive?
Yeah, they're not super cheap, and you're paying per user. So it's probably more than 10 quid a month per person. So that adds up in a company. A cheaper alternative that's come along recently, and there are many of them now, is Join.me. And Join.me you can run free, and then there's a business service. One thing I love about Join.me is there's a number that you can dial. So I had a colleague in Germany. I was sitting in London. I would Skype him, then Skype again, and say, do you want to have a quick Join.me? He would say, yes. I press redial on a Join.me number that I've saved into my phone as a contact, and it dials me straight into the meeting room. He does the same thing from his car in Germany, and it dials him into the meeting room. And we've got a connection as if my mobile had called his mobile, but both are free calls.
But you need two different pieces of software to do that.
Yeah. Well, we use Skype because it's an easy way to message him, but I could have text messaged him just as easily. I could have used something like WhatsApp to text message him just as easily.
So could you just talk to me about WhatsApp as well, because I've just started to use that. Mm-hmm. And as I understand it, I mean, I know I can do text messages and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm abroad, I'm using the internet and so on and so forth off my mobile phone, so it's cheaper and so on and so forth. What else am I able to do with it?
Yeah, WhatsApp, the teenager's toy that parents started using to keep in touch with their teenagers when they're overseas.
Well, the thing is, I'm just conscious that these things become very popular and then suddenly they disappear because something else comes along and supersedes it.
Yes.
But WhatsApp seems to be around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to continue to be? I mean, is it flexible enough to be around?
I think they got bought by Facebook, didn't they? So they're probably not going anywhere. I think they did. So,
really?
So WhatsApp is excellent because effectively it's free text messaging anywhere in the world to anybody who has the app. So again, like Skype, they need to have the app. But again, like Skype, most people have it these days. The things that I use WhatsApp for: text messaging to my parents in New Zealand from England, to friends all over the world. When I was traveling through South America, I was using it to message other people and say, hi, where are you? When are we meeting up? Which pub? You know, that sort of stuff. One of the things I love about in WhatsApp is sending photos. So you take a photo and share it on WhatsApp and it goes straight to mum.
You can send pictures.
That's right.
And
videos.
You can send videos as well.
So often I'll take a video of something. These days it's probably someone's child doing something funny, and then I'll send it to another friend who's not there that day and say, hasn't he grown? You know, and it's very, very easy to do. And then the last thing is voice messages. And believe it or not, this is fantastic for other time zones, because you hold down the mic button, talk away for as many minutes as you like, let go, it sends the message. When the Australian wakes up, they open up WhatsApp and there's a voicemail for them, which didn't cost a thing.
Very impressive. And it's being used by businesses, is it? Or is it just
WhatsApp
social?
WhatsApp's mostly social. I haven't really seen it for business yet. I've seen a lot of Skype and then the conference call products we talked about. One thing I wanted to say about Skype, going back to that, is one absolute killer feature of Skype is you can pay for a Skype number in any country in the world. And then let's just assume you have a client in another country. So I was in England, I had a client in Sydney and in Brisbane and in Melbourne and in Auckland. And so I bought numbers in Australia and New Zealand that they could call that would ring my Skype. So I'm sitting at my desk in England, admittedly in the middle of the night to match their time zone. And although it couldn't fix the time zone, it would make that call free. And the other thing I could do is I could pay a certain number of quid a month. It was like 4 or 5 quid a month, maybe 8, that allowed me to call any landline in Australia free.
Oh, very good.
And so that saved me an enormous amount.
Okay, so providing you know, if you've got regular calls to a particular country, you can control your costs.
That's right. That's
very good.
But I also have another tool for that, which I love very much, called Rebtel.
I know Rebtel. I used Rebtel years and years ago. If I remember, they give you a special telephone number, a local telephone number or something, and you have to give that to people who are going to call you, and you both have to use the same number. And if I remember, it was a bit clunky.
Interesting, because I did a bit of research before we did this episode, and I saw a couple of people mentioning that, and yet I've never done that.
Right.
Very similar to what I just talked about with Skype and having a Skype number.
Well, I was surprised it was still around, to be honest.
Well, the thing is, now it's really just a calling card app. So, you know, back in the day, you used to go into the shop. What name should I use for that in England? It would be a dairy in New Zealand, be a milk bar in Australia. And what would it be here, a corner shop?
Yes, okay. Store.
A convenience store. So you go into a convenience store and you buy a card, back in the day, $10 or £10 to call overseas.
Yeah.
And so people would send their kids off overseas with one of these cards. Rebtel comes along, kids got iPhone in pocket, give them the Rebtel app and put some credit on it. It costs 2p per minute to call any landline in the world, give or take. It's about 20p a minute to call any mobile in the world. So you can use that for emergencies. But really, what I've used it for is about 6 or 7 years of calling my parents at their home in West Auckland out on the coast whenever I feel like it. So Christmas Day, sitting in the van in South Australia at a beach in the middle of nowhere on the mobile with some free minutes, and I open the app and it calls mum and dad at home on their normal phone. One of the key things about technology is choosing who to use it with. My mum and dad are really tech savvy, and bless them, they're really good with Skype and all those sorts of things, but their connection isn't good enough. Whenever Skype comes up with a video call, it's breaking up, it's no good. It's just not organic enough. I love the fact that I can, you know, for 2p a minute, call mum and dad anytime I like from anywhere in the world.
And you're calling their phone number, their landline number.
Correct.
But you're calling from?
My mobile. Effectively, Rebtel will use one of two things. It will either use Wi-Fi, like Skype does, or it will use your normal phone network. I turn the Wi-Fi off because the quality is kind of like Skype, and the mobile is really good. So as long as you've got 3 minutes and you turn your data off first, you get this call, which is effectively the same quality as a mobile call, anywhere in the world.
That's just 2p a minute.
It is fantastic. I spend about £15 a year calling them as much as I like and talking for hours.
And there are no limitations on it?
Not really, no. And they are one of few apps that are really responsible. The first time you go to load up, they'll say, we don't really know you yet, so you could only load up with $10. Mm-hmm. Now we know each other. Now you can load up at 25.
They're big?
I think they are quite big now. Yeah, I think they are quite big.
And it's business application or social?
I think there's a business application, and I have used it for calling clients overseas. The only thing is it's a little bit like Skype, and you can have moments when you have to call back. I found that a bit frustrating for business. But having said that, it's so cheap. As a backup for Skype, it's ideal for business. And people are really understanding of communication these days. It's normal for a phone call to drop out and people to call you back. Nobody skips a beat. So the last tool I want to talk about is Slack. Now, Slack, I am only 6 to 8 months into using. Do you know anything about it?
I know nothing about it.
So Slack is a team chatting app. It's effectively like the window that you have for Skype on your computer, which has on the left-hand side a series of channels. And in each of those channels, you have a discussion, like a discussion thread. So you imagine you open your phone up, you go into your text messages, and you see messages to and from me dating back a few days. Mm-hmm. Imagine that within an interface, but multiple people, like a multiple person text message. What's amazing about Slack is that it's developed as a response to email getting overfull. So imagine you're sitting at work, loads of email comes in, you can't really figure out which one relates to which conversation. It gets a bit hectic. With Slack, you open it up, on the left-hand side, you go to the channel that's called Sales. And in Sales, you can see a few questions from the different salespeople. And being in marketing, I'm answering those questions and helping them out. But it's all in one place in a group discussion that they can all see. Then you can add other things to it. So you can add your Twitter feed to it. So we've set it up for Old Fox, Young Fox. So whenever anybody sends a tweet to @OldFoxYoungFox or #OldFoxYoungFox, it appears in Slack. It notifies you on your phone and on your computer. You didn't have to go into Twitter to do it. Really important, because people need one place to get everything. I was a bit apprehensive about using Slack because I was like, another tool? I've got so many.
Well, that's the only thing that occurs to me, is that you've got to have lots and lots of these things. Is there not one that does most of it? Or is that coming along down the track?
That's a really good question. I would honestly say that will probably never happen.
Because
technology will continue to move. There'll be new ways of interacting. There'll be a virtual reality where I can see you. If I put my goggles on, I can see you in 3D and in front of the computer talking to me on Skype.
But before we get to that point, though, surely, I mean, for someone like me, where I don't want all these multiple applications, I mean, you love it. You love learning about all these things and playing with them. For me, it's a pain in the neck. I just want an intuitive application that I can use in lots of different ways, you know, the martini principle, you know, anywhere, any place, anyhow. That's what I need. I want something that does all of this and does it very, very intuitively.
Ultimately, I think the best solution right now is think about who you want to talk to and choose the tool that suits them the best. So think about the particular client. If that client is in Bogota and they use Skype, then Skype's your tool. Use it for as many different things as you can. If it's your daughter and she uses WhatsApp. Just accept the fact that for her, when you want to reach her, you use WhatsApp. And as much as possible, I agree, aggregate things into one place. I believe that Slack will begin to replace a lot of email. And I've seen that at work.
Mm.
It's incredible how our consultant team talk on Slack. So, so much conversation happens and so much email doesn't need to get sent. Because most of these messages are effectively as long as a text message. Has anybody ever had experience with this technology? And then five different people who may be in different countries will say, yes, I have here. They'll drag a file in. You know, effectively, it's an email chain. So it's really, really helpful.
Has Slack reached critical mass in the sense that in the same way that with, you know, Skype, it was a period where very few people knew about it, very few people were actually using it, and then suddenly it just took off. And I suspect there are others which were out there that just didn't take off.
Sure.
Is Slack something one should really start to focus on, do you think?
Yes.
So I should become Slack savvy.
I've just invited you today.
Oh, God, not another one.
I'm really hesitant taking on new tools. Yeah. I know that might surprise you, but I look at them, I open them up, play around with them, and then I decide if I'm going to throw them away. And I'll do that fairly quickly. Because I don't have room in my life for too many other things that are technological. With Slack, I think it is. It's grown to 1 million users, maybe a few more just on Android. It's probably got 2 million on iPhone.
Worldwide?
Worldwide.
Okay.
And that's pretty fast for maybe 12 months of really
and
being
And it's
mainstream.
Pretty intuitive, is it?
Yeah, I think it is intuitive. And there's plenty of videos on how to use it, etc. But I think the key there is channels. And here's one that comes back to the branding episode we did. You can set up a Slack channel to have a conversation with your customers.
Right.
You can have your customer service team or one of manning the phone over a follow the sun type mentality. And that channel's open for 12 hours for anybody to ask questions. And it's all centralized. It's all in the one place that everybody can see it. If a question comes up that no one can answer, someone more senior might be able to jump in. I think there's a lot of potential for it.
So if any of our listeners wanted to see this for themselves, they'd just go online.
Sure.
And they'd put in Slack, S-L-A-C-K, and you're there.
That's right. We'll obviously put it in the show notes. I would just suggest typing in the product name, space, review, and having a look on YouTube.
So where is all this technology heading, in your view?
In terms of chatting and communicating yes. technology? I think it's all heading towards voice recognition. So I now send a lot of my text message to you while I'm driving without taking my hands off the wheel. And I'll say, okay, Google, send a text message to Jeremy. And sometimes the words are a bit funny and it doesn't like my Kiwi/Australian/English accent. But that's a big step forward for technology. Google is just getting to the stage now that you've got your MacBook open or your PC. You wouldn't use a PC there, you'd have a MacBook. You open your MacBook up and you say, okay, Google, at the web page, and it searches for you. And then I think the other thing that's coming is augmented reality. So it's where things become visual, where our glasses begin to be virtual reality. And we may not wear them all the time, but when I want to Skype grandma, I put the Skype goggles on and I can see her in 3D. I think that's really coming.
I was reading today that Google are having a few problems with the development of their goggles. I think that's a bit rich for me at the moment. I think
me too.
I think I'm going to stay in the
A big deal. But I mean, you know, do you have a 3D TV?
No,
neither do I. So some things are interim technologies, and some things become the future.
Very good. I think talking to people face to face is still difficult to beat.
One thing I learned from 10 years living in Australia was it doesn't happen until you've shaken hands and eyeballed.
Yeah.
And so many things people say they will do don't happen unless.
I mean, when you're talking about Skype, you're saying that in the office, we will send a message through Skype to each other. And I can understand that. And I think that's great at one level. But another level, why don't you just get up out of the chair and go and talk to somebody?
I often do. Especially to developers, because they, by definition, are more tech savvy than me. And I'll just be like, we've been doing this for 5 minutes. I'll just walk down.
Yeah.
So there is a time and a place for all these things. Very good. Three tools. Easy done.
Great. Thank you.